Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and this is the Odessa American Local News from Saturday, July 27th, 2024. Four. Chamber, ECISD, set to welcome new teachers. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce will host its annual teacher welcome event at 4 p.m. July 29th at the MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome, 6201 Business Interstate 20 in Odessa. Marketing and communications specialist Allison Gray said there are 61 vendors this year to welcome the teachers. There will be finger foods as well. That's banks, nonprofits they can get connected with, churches, any businesses in the area that they can connect with for various things, for home or apartments, all of that, Gray said. More than 300 new teachers are expected during the 11th event. Monday's event includes vendors, gifts, door prizes, and gift bags. It's all just to say welcome to the community. We hope that you see the positive light that Odessa is, and we hope that you stay, Gray said. The tote bags will include a little bit of everything. Vendors will offer things like gift cards and school supplies. A big thing that a lot of vendors do is they'll do their own kind of giveaway at their specific booths on top of doing a door prize. The majority of the time will cover all your school supplies or will sponsor your classroom. It's usually anything to help the teacher out to make it the best year they can, Gray said. She added that the teacher welcome is one of the chamber's favorite events to host. One of our big pieces that we like to focus on is showcasing our community and bringing these people in and saying, Odessa is a great place to work and live. Through this event, we're hoping that it showcases not only our members, because all of the vendors are members of the chamber, but it also shows the new teachers that there is a lot to do here in Odessa. Everybody is friendly enough to try to come together and make it the best place to work, Gray said. She added that it's just fun for everyone to have a chance to mix, mingle, and network. The come-and-go event usually lasts for 2 hours. A video with State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Chamber Board Chairman Judd Campbell, Chamber President and CEO Renee Earls, Mayor Javier Hoven, and ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray will be shown during teacher training that morning, Gray said. This year, we really wanted to focus on streamlining everything because it has grown so much. We wanted to be respectful of everybody's time, so we adjusted that. Chevron is our presenting sponsor of this. They have partnered with us, I believe, every year, and through them, we're able to offer this event to the teachers, Gray said. She added that Chevron will also send a video. The Chamber's teacher welcome is unique. I think for us, it's just important to show teachers and first responders in any way that they are valued and that we see that what they do is very valuable to our future and our growth, Gray said. She added that the looks on the faces of the teachers who walk in is so amazing because it's something they don't see every day. They're always excited to get in there and start talking to everybody, and the bags are always a huge hit, Gray said. ECISD Chief Communications Officer Mike Atkins said the opportunity for new teachers to meet people in the community right away, find a bank, an insurance agent, a place to buy a car, and a church is incredibly helpful to the district. So for the Chamber of Commerce and the businesses and organizations that make up the Chamber, to take that time and that effort to welcome teachers into ECISD is simply amazing. It doesn't happen everywhere, Atkins said. We're really blessed to have a chamber that will do this for us and make the staff feel that welcome, he added. Chris Crow tossed off Odessa Development Corporation Board by Kim Smith. The Odessa City Council voted 6-1 to remove Chris Crow as the chairman of the Odessa Development Corporation Tuesday night after he was accused of prohibiting an attorney hired by the ODC from talking to Mayor Javier Hoven and city staff about using ODC money to address the city's failing infrastructure. In a telephone conversation following the meeting, Crow admitted he asked attorney Jeff Moore to restrict his conversations to himself and Tom Mansky, director of economic development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, but said it was because Moore was being weaponized. As for his removal, Crow said he always knew he served at the pleasure of the council. He emailed Hovan and council members Denise Swanner and Mark Mata immediately following the meeting, which he watched from Grand Prairie while tending to his daughter, who was in a car wreck. I emailed all three of them and said, "Hey, thank you for the opportunity to serve. I've enjoyed my time on the ODC board, and I consider all three of us friends, and I would still love an opportunity to sit down with all three of you. I am not trying to change your minds. I just think we need to talk," Crow said. Since at least June 2022, Odessa City Council member Steve Thompson has been suggesting that city sales tax money collected by the ODC could be used to fix city roads and water infrastructure. But several of his fellow council members and their appointees on the ODC board did not believe it would be legally feasible to do so. After two waterline breaks resulted in city residents losing their water completely, Thompson again brought up the possibility of using ODC money to float revenue bonds, pointing out there's $80 million to $90 million sitting unallocated in the bank. On Tuesday night, Hovan said the council placed the ODC leadership on its agenda because of recent developments he thought city residents should be aware of. Hovan said he has been trying to organize a meeting with ODC attorney Jeff Moore, Crow, city manager John Beckmeyer, himself, and city attorney Dan Jones to talk about ODC funds and infrastructure for weeks, but has not been able to because of Crow. I was told in person and then later through an email, but in person I was told, "No, that lawyer is mine. He works for the ODC, not the city. You are not to call. The city manager is not to call. The city attorney is not to call. And Mr. Thompson is not to call, and no one from the city council," Hovan said. However, Hovan said everyone on the ODC is appointed by a city council member, and therefore their attorney also works for the city. "The accountability begins and ends with the city council," Hovan said. Hovan also alleged that despite the fact a 2003 Texas Attorney General's opinion states it would have been okay for economic development money to be used for the new sports complex, the ODC forced the city to create a light industrial district. He claimed Crow told him the ODC shouldn't be thought of as a piggy bank by the council. Councilmember Mark Mata said he wanted to know if it's true Crow threatened to fire Moore if he communicated with city staff, attorney, or council members. He also wanted to know if the ODC money can be used or not, because he's heard yes and he's heard no. The ODC was formed in 1997 when voters agreed one quarter of a 1 cent sales tax going to the Ector County Hospital District should be redirected toward economic development. Mata said the law reads that economic development corporations can use Type A revenue to fund land, buildings, equipment, facilities expenditures, targeted infrastructure, and improvements for projects, including infrastructure improvements that promote or develop new or expanded business enterprises. Next question, why would you not allow us to have a joint meeting so we can discuss it and come up with a solution? Mata said. Thompson also hammered home the idea that the ODC answers to the council, and that is why he was not pleased when Crow and his fellow ODC board members hired an attorney to represent the board. Thompson also said he has serious concerns about Moore because he believes Moore tells whomever he's speaking with whatever he believes they want to hear. ODC Vice Chairman Jeff Russell defended Crow's actions, stating every time Moore spoke with anyone other than himself or Crow, it bred this nest of confusion. You talk about openness and transparency and all. I mean, it was just becoming a confusing mess, Russell said. Russell, and then later Crow, said the ODC pays for Moore's services, not the city. Moore was hired because former city attorney Natasha Brooks was totally incompetent, Russell said. Hovann, who was among those who voted to fire Brooks in December 2022, said that was uncalled for. Councilmember Denise Swanner at one point read the agreement between Moore and the ODC. It says, "We understand as attorneys for ODC that our present relationship is to represent and provide legal counsel to the City of Odessa and the City Attorney on as needed basis." So that gives us the authority to speak to Jeff Moore anytime this council would like, Swanner said. Russell raised Beckmeyer's ire when he began to describe an ODC meeting where the board tried to discuss taking $18 million originally intended for the Nacero Natural Gas Project and putting it toward infrastructure. Russell said Beckmeyer interrupted them to say they couldn't do that. Now we're confused. Mr. Beckmeyer has apparently been talking to Dan Jones or to Jeff Moore, whoever it was, and now we're confused. Come to find out, Mr. Beckmeyer was exactly 100% wrong. Just like he was 100% wrong when he cornered me after a city council meeting and said, "Hey, you guys can help fund the sports complex," Russell said. "I'm going to stop you here," Beckmeyer interrupted. "Did you not? Did we not have that conversation?" Russell said. You said, "I'm going to stop you here. You were wrong," Beckmeyer said. Russell said Moore told the board they could use the Nacero money, but Beckmeyer insisted Moore told him just the opposite the day before that meeting. Russell, Beckmeyer, and Hovann then began talking over each other about what Moore may or may not have said and about a July 12th memo written by Moore to the ODC that wasn't shared with Beckmeyer, the city council, or anyone on city staff. Russell said he and Crow thought it best to discuss the July 12th memo at an ODC meeting before bringing it to the council. "I can read you the memorandum. It's very simple and very clear. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to read what he wrote to us in a memorandum to the board," Russell said. He then read the memo, which essentially said ODC money can be used under specific circumstances, but not when the infrastructure is in residential areas because it wouldn't promote new or expanded business development. In other areas, funds can be expended based on what percentage of the area is residential or business. Russell insisted that it kills him so much money is just sitting in ODC accounts, and the board has been working for months trying to figure out how to help the city with its infrastructure needs. "I think the notion that we've been trying to hang on to the money and keep it in our coffers couldn't be further from the truth," he said. Russell and Crow both said members of the ODC weren't available for a June 23rd meeting suggested by City Secretary Norma Aguilar, and they never heard back with other suggested dates. When asked during the meeting why the ODC couldn't call a special joint meeting with the City Council, Russell responded, "I'll just speak for me. I'm getting tired of having our head bashed about this idea and that idea. No, you can't do it. I mean, we were trying to get our ducks in a row before we brought this forward." Mr. Moore laid out three possible options. ODC wanted to get their hands wrapped around it so that we can present a real plan to City Council so that we didn't get into this endless back and forth of yes, you can, no, you can't. During his phone interview, Crow said he was absolutely not opposed to a meeting. I would love to meet. Remember, who was the guy who wanted the city council and the county commissioners and economic development all in the same room and orchestrated it? I did, Crow said. You know what I mean. So I love it. I think it's a great idea. If everybody's in the same room, can't nobody have he said, she said. I've reached out to the mayor, to Denise Swanner and Mark Mata multiple times over the last 2 weeks, leaving voicemail messages and text messages. I've tried to communicate multiple times, multiple ways. Crickets. Crow said he believes Thompson, Beckmeyer, and others have been asking more questions in a way that guarantees they'll get the answers they want, but the ODC has a fiduciary responsibility. I've always said the ODC is not a piggy bank for the city. Here's the deal. The city has ultimate say-so on the grants that ODC gives. Okay, but why have the ODC board if they have complete autonomous control? Why did the legislature set up economic development the way that it did? Because they wanted checks and balances, Crow said. Following the meeting, Mata and Thompson said they believe Hovann, Jones, and Beckmeyer will request another meeting with Moore and Russell. Our next steps are to keep working with the ODC. We still need to come to an agreement on what we can do as far as spending ODC funds for infrastructure, Mata said. Secondly, we have to come up with a replacement for Chris Crow. We have quite a few candidates that we're talking about right now, and we're in the vetting process, and we want to make sure that we pick somebody who is going to do us a good job there. Mata, who made the motion to remove Crow, said he didn't ask to remove Russell because it was Crow who placed the restrictions on Moore. And personally, for me, I didn't want to do it because I didn't want it to look like it was retaliatory on my part because he did pick up a packet to run against me in the November election, Mata said. The last thing they wanted to do was remove an ODC member because they appreciate how hard the board works. But Crow was an impediment, Mata said. I think we're moving on the right track. This council is unified and working together to find a solution to fix the infrastructure. Unfortunately, this was a painful step, but it was a necessary step to move forward with this. Asked if he intends to run for city council in November, Crow said he's thought about it. I have considered it, but I don't know. I think I can do more for the city by not being on council and just holding council to task. You know, I do a lot of research, as you've seen. I mean, I look at the bylaws, I look at the city codes, and you know, I just want them to follow the rules. How crazy is that? Crow again insisted he congratulated Gilbert Vasquez on becoming a Republican during a recent council meeting because he just thinks it's wrong the council member and hundreds of other Democrats voted in the Republican primary in March, which ousted Crow's wife Tisha from her seat as Ector County GOP chair. Councilmember Chris Haney voted against removing Crow from his position, noting he wasn't there to defend himself and Russell couldn't answer all of the council's questions. In other matters, the council voted unanimously to award a contract to Hydromax to assess and maintain the city's water valves. According to materials provided to the city, three companies submitted bids and city staff is recommending Hydromax. The city has budgeted more than $533,000 for the project, but estimate it will actually cost $1 million. The council also voted to hire a grant writer. Very relaxing. Art teacher creates reading garden mural. In addition to Inspiration Station, the Ector County ISD Development Office is gaining a reading garden, complete with a mural created by art teacher Priscilla Hernandez. Celeste Potter, Executive Director of Development for ECISD, said the garden will be unveiled in the fall, but no date has been set yet. It will be a space where Odessa High School students can come hang out during lunch. The mural, which includes an open book, inspirational words, and butterflies, took Hernandez about 18 days to create. Her friend, Maribel Aranda, Director of Administrative Services, helped Hernandez with the mural's look. Aranda was Hernandez's principal at Crockett Middle School. Hernandez is now moving to Ector Middle School to be an art teacher there. At first glance, it doesn't look like a mural would be hard to paint on the wall, but the texture needed more brush strokes to get it the way she wanted. Potter gave Hernandez a sketch of an open book with butterflies and greenery coming out of it. Hernandez has words coming out of the book, making it look magical. She also got help during the process from students and the community. She added that she appreciates the trust the Education Foundation put in her to do the project. Hernandez said she's ready to do more mural painting. You get focused in on what you're doing, that it's very relaxing. You forget everything else that's going on in your life, Hernandez said. IDEA UConn hosts event for first ever freshman class by Ruth Campbell. To help students get ready for their freshman year at IDEA UConn Preparatory, the campus held its first ever fish camp. About 95 students turned out to get a glimpse of the school's culture, meet each other, support staff and teachers. Friday, UConn College Prep Principal Stephanie Eisenberger said the campus will welcome about 130 freshmen for the first day of school, August 8th. Students spent some of the morning responding to a survey of what traditions they would like to start, like homecoming and prom, and taking part in a scavenger hunt where they met and took photos with staff, saw where their classes are going to be held, and more. This is the first year IDEA UConn will open to ninth grade students. IDEA UConn opened its doors in 2021 with grade levels kindergarten through sixth grade, adding a new grade level each year until it will be fully scaled kindergarten through 12th grade. This year, IDEA UConn will serve roughly 1,200 students, grade levels kindergarten through ninth. Eisenberger said the students learn about what GPA is and what their graduation plan is going to be. We know that the work they're going to do this year is going to impact their ability to get into college, so we're trying to train them up and give them the knowledge they need to be successful, she added. For the first year, IDEA UConn has a college counselor, Raquel Gonzalez, whose job is to advise kids on what they need to know to do to be successful in college and beyond. IDEA is committed to a vision of college for all children, its website said. It has intervention courses and summer school to help students pass the STAR. They are also offering TSI exemption testing and ACT tests. Eisenberger said taking the tests makes students more competitive in the college application process. They also showed the students a video of college signing day. I see the video of the college signing day, and it's so exciting to think that our kids are going to be walking that stage in 4 years, Eisenberger said. It's really exciting to have ninth grade this year because this is where you can start to see all the work that you've put in for all the number of years start to really come to fruition as they start to plan their college life. I think it's really exciting to see them start to see that college-going identity for themselves and begin to plan what they want to do with their careers as well, she added. Gonzalez said they are very excited to welcome their first ninth grade class. Today, we're just going over some expectations. We gave them an opportunity to mingle with one another and get to know the school, Gonzalez said. Fish camp was held last year at IDEA Travis in Midland. They are adding 10th grade this year. We're just going off of that. And we all added in our own little parts of it, Gonzalez said. Being a smaller campus, she said, students have an opportunity to meet each other in one spot and engage in activities together. One, we want them to all have a relationship with one another, for our new students to get to meet our older students, and for our older students to serve as leaders. Two, we want to go ahead and ease those emotions that they may be feeling on their first day of ninth grade, to let them have a little bit of fun before we kick off their first year of high school, Gonzalez said. Since this is the students' first year of high school, they are going to be the trailblazers, setting all the traditions moving forward. This is Gonzalez's first year at IDEA Campus. I'm really passionate about their mission for College for All and AP Advanced Placement courses because I believe if you set the standard high, students are going to meet it, she said. Ninth grader Kelsey Jarvis has been attending IDEA for 4 years. She previously went to Bice Elementary. The 14-year-old said going into high school is exciting because of all the new things coming up. Jarvis added that it is exciting to be part of the founding class because they will get to graduate first and others will be building a base off of this class. The uniforms are what appealed to Jarvis about IDEA because they seem more professional. Jacob Carrasco, 14, and a former Bice student said it was pretty good to get to be the first graduating class.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.